position. All we like sheep have gone astray. How many can just admit it? I was going the wrong way. Okay, I'm going to raise my hand for the rest of you. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone, listen, to his own way. Isn't it very easy to make a decision based on your own intellect, your own logic? Isn't that very easy? Isn't it sometimes counterintuitive to just wait on God, to just open your spirit up to say, God, what do you want in this situation, rather than just doing what we think is right? That is something that I struggle with. I have to slow myself down and say, wait a minute, I need to acknowledge God in all of my ways. My footsteps have to be ordered by the Lord, but they can't be ordered by the Lord if I'm going my own direction. Everyone has turned his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Now, that's the problem with the world at large now, is they refuse God's way. They're not concerned or even considerate of God's way whatsoever. They're moving by their own emotion, by their own intellect, by their own logic, or about their own desired outcome. That's the norm for the world. I'll give you an example. God said, thou shalt not commit adultery. This is normal now. We are a sexualized generation to the extreme. And we don't even consider. We go our own way. God said, thou shalt not. We go our own way. And why do we do that? Well, because it feels good. I like it. And so we disregard God's way in totality, and we move in our own direction, and it's a norm for our society now. Unfortunately, not just outside of the church, inside of the church. People who sit under the word of God still refuse to go God's way and go in their own direction. But the scripture says the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. That's how the Holy Spirit describes a person who's doing this. The way of the fool. Not the way of God. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Another scripture said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. If you look that up in the King James, you'll notice the word there is, there and is are italicized. That means it's not in the original language. What it really says is the fool has said in his heart, no, no, God, no. I will not go your way. Because I think my way is better. They had one guy, he wrote a song about it. I'll do it my way. I did it my way. But my way will always lead to death. It will always lead you to a sinful life outside of God's manifest will. And if you're smart, like many of us are who turned around, I'll just speak of myself. From the time I was 12 or 13, I was smoking dope. All the way up till I was 28. But God gave me one brief moment just of spiritual clarity to make a decision for Jesus Christ. And I was moving this way, my way, and all of a sudden I turned around and I'm moving the way of the Lord. And he's helping me. He's assisting me to move his way. And yes, there's been many times that you have a temptation. Hey, just try your way just one more time. Has anybody had that temptation? It doesn't fail thousands of times. And you say, well, just try it one more time. No, it's always going to fail. And we're always going to have to come back and do it God's way. This is what the whole parable of the prodigal son was about. You had the prodigal son living under the resources of the father. Life was good. Everything was good. And suddenly one day the prodigal wakes up and says, I want my resources, Father. I want to go do it my way. I've got some things I want to do. I've got some boxes. I've got a bucket list. I want to check off some things on the bucket list. But it always leads us into a mess. And minute, you know the story. He went out. He took the resources from the Father. He went out. He lived a riotous life, drinking, smoking, running with hookers. All of his friends, but as soon as his money ran out, amen, his friends ran out. Alcohol's not free. Hookers aren't free. Everybody left him. and he found himself in a hog pen. You will always go on your own way. You will always end up in a hog pen. Now, I've still got enough mud on the bottoms of my shoes. I still remember the times I went my own way and I ended up in the hog pen and said, God, how did I get here? Son, you went your own way. You didn't follow after the way of the Lord. Something all of us have to realize, you cannot choose your own life. Your life's already been chosen for you. You've got a call upon your life. You've got the hand of God upon your life. He bought you with a price. You're no more your own. He will not let you go your own way. See, that's what Jonah did. Jonah said, God said, go to Nineveh. Jonah said, no, my way, I'm going to Tarshish. And God stopped that preacher in the middle of the ocean and said, wind, go stop him right there. He will not go to Tarshish. And God will do the same thing to you and I. Yes, the hand of the Lord can be heavy upon us times, at times to confine us, to keep us in the safe place of his perfect way. It's been 40 years now. And I've learned over and over again, God's way is just better. It's just better. Many times the things that I want, they're destructive. They seem like they're okay. The way of the fool, it seems like it's okay. But when it all plays out, you'll find out it's not okay. And so we like the prodigal, we, in our prior lives, prior to salvation, we went out our own way, ended up in a hog pen. Now, some of us there was more hogs in some of our pen than in others. But all of us ended up in a mess, and we said, I need to turn around. I need to go back and live for God. And that's good. But then once we come into salvation, we come into Christianity, we still have those clinging vines of the fall that grip our hearts at times, that tempt us just in this one area. I'm going to go my way. I'm going to go God's way all the way over here. But in this one area, I'm just going to go my way. Saints, that way is just as deadly, even though it's just one. It's just as deadly as if you went your way all the way around. James would tell us this. He said in James chapter 1, verse 23, he said, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, let's just stop right there. Now, if you're a hearer of the word and not a doer, and that gets you in trouble, which James will explain, how much worse is it if you're not even a hearer of the word? How much worse is it if you are right in the house of God, but your ears have waxed cold and you can no longer hear the word of God? Your Bible, it covers... it gets dust from week to week because you never search it. You never read it. You never search for the wisdom. There's something about this word as you read it. I don't mean a verse or a phrase. I mean as you read books of this Bible. It does something to you. I cannot explain it, but there's a spiritual strength that comes on the inside that just makes you better. It makes you stronger. But if you're not a hearer, or if you are a hearer and you're not a doer, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, meaning in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and then goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, this is the problem we have within the confines of Christianity. Yes, we're saved. Yes, our lives have been conformed to some degree to Jesus Christ, has been restricted by the Holy Spirit. But we have a danger in that we can look into the perfect law of liberty. We can see all of our issues and all of our problems, turn around, and then go our way, rather than to allow that word to constrain us and to continue to move us. See, that's what the Holy Spirit, his whole job is to lead us and to guide us. But he can't lead us if we're not being led. He can't guide us if we're unguidable. And many times it comes down to simply our own emotions. And here's the worst one, is our own logic and intellect. You know, many people don't even pay tithes simply because their Excel spreadsheet says it's not possible. It is quiet in here this morning. I've shared this story before, but it's so compelling concerning tithe. And I'm not preaching on that. This is all free. You don't have to pay for this. I had a couple. Actually, I had a husband come to me one time, a business owner. And he said, you know, my wife and I, we've just kind of got away from tithing, but we know that we're supposed to do it. And we've got this business going, but if we take the tithe and pay our tithe, it's going to hurt the business. But we know, we just don't know how to navigate through this. And I told him, well, you just whatever part of the tithe you can pay without hurting your business, you do that. And then over time, as you're able, as God blesses, you just keep working it up until you get to 10%, and then you're there. And they did that. And it's still the shaky waters. And then there was a time that same family, they would write checks for $40,000 and $50,000 to the ministry. Because their faithfulness, they went the right way. And God can bless you when you move in the right way, not just in your financials, but in everything, in your moral life. If you're moving the right way, God can bless you. But if you decide, I'm going my own way, you hinder the hand of God. And then we hear people say, well, you know, it didn't work for me. No, no, no. You didn't work it. You see, God does not negotiate with you and I. He don't negotiate with anybody. Not because he's mean-spirited. It's because he's omniscient, meaning that he knows all things. Every decision he makes is perfect from the foundation of the earth. Before you were, before you even existed, he made decisions for your life that would help you navigate through, not help you, that will cause you to navigate through the dangers of this life. But it's only as we follow his leading and go his way and allow him to do what he will in our lives. And I realize this, you know, it's not always obvious. I have a decision here that I have to make. I don't know which way is God's way. What do I do? You ask. It seems simple. You ask. You seek for the old path. That's what the scripture says. Seek. Look for it. Ask it. Pray. Feel after God. You seek for the old path in the right way. And when you find it, now you walk it. You don't find the right way and then go the other direction. And these are things, this happens to us every day, every week, every month. We have decisions, we have directions, we have adjustments we have to make to our life. But we have to be very careful to feel after God, to make sure, God, are you pleased with this? And if God's not saying anything. Sometimes God will do that. Sometimes he won't talk to you. He won't just, you know, wake you up at 2:00 in the morning and say, thus saith the Lord, here's the answer to your problem. He don't do that. But you know what he did? He gave us his word. And the answer is always in this book. Now, it won't say problem number 943. There's my problem. That's it. It won't do that. It puts a whole body of knowledge in you so that you instinctively know how to make decisions based on what you've gathered from God's word. Are you with me? For example, I'm just making this up. Somebody walks to me, a young lady walks to me, beautiful, multi-billionaire. And she says, Lincoln, you can have it all. Just divorce your wife and it'd be me and you. Well, I don't have to pray about that. I've already got scripture. I don't even have to pray about that. The word has scripture. Get thee hence, Satan. That's you got scripture. But if you don't have this, if you're not being a hearer of the word, you can't be a doer of the word, or you're going to be greatly challenged. If you just have a passing knowledge of a scripture that it kind of says something like this, that's not enough to give you the internal fortitude to stand in the time of trial. And so we fall back on our intellect, our emotions, our desired outcome, our logic, and all of those things. Jesus said, I am the way. All those other ways are false ways and false hopes. You know, as you get older in the Lord, and I know many of you can agree with me, I have failed in my own way so many times that I just instinctively know, nah, don't even try it. Just go with God. Why take another trip to the hog pen? Why go back to the hog pen when I can just walk in God's way? Because ultimately, you go to the hog pen, if you're a child of God, you get chastised so heavily that you go, oh, let me go back to the Father's house. Well, why don't you just stay with the Father the whole time and you don't have to visit the hog pen? Jesus gave a parable concerning this. He said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, he said, enter ye in at the straight gate. The straight gate means the narrow gate. It's confined. Because wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be that go thereat. Man, that one verse right there, it has such a wealth of knowledge in it. It means that instinctively you should know that if the crowd is going that way, that's the wrong way. Many there be that go thereat. When everybody's falling over themselves going that way, you can just turn around, just go the opposite direction, because that way is not God's way. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there be that go thereat. Because, here's why many go in the wide gate, because straight is the gate. Narrow is the way that leads to life. You see, sometimes it's just the way our perspective and the way that we look at it. We look at this world like we have all of these options. And from all of these options, I have to find my way through them all. When that's not the reality at all. You don't have none of these options. They're not for you. There's only one road, one way, which is the narrow way. But you'll fit through it just fine. Just don't try to bring nothing with you. That's why it's narrow. Just leave the Budweiser back here. Leave the smoking dope. Leave the adulteries and the fornications and all the weirdness that we fall into. And just you, you'll fit just fine in the narrow way. Narrow is the way which leads to life. Now, something that we have to understand about this parable is that you're looking at a gate. But you have to realize right behind that gate, there's a way. And when you walk down that way, whichever way you go, at the end, there's a destination. On one is life, on the other is destruction. So you should not have to walk all the way down the way before you realize that your toes are dangling over the lips of hell. You should at the gate be able to realize that's a broad gate. That does not agree with God's word. And you know what? If you're standing at the crossroads and you don't know what to do, and you hadn't read your Bible enough to have that internal instinctive knowledge, just stop right there and ask God, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. What do I do here? Be honest about it. And if you honestly in your heart are not set on a preference, God, I'll do whatever. I don't care. I'll go whichever way you tell me to go. I just need you to tell me which way to go. The God will speak to you. He'll do it in various different ways. He'll make sure that you understand which direction you are to take. Now, of course, there's some things that God doesn't speak to at all. If you get up in the morning and say, Lord, I just need to know what color socks do I put on today? Well, that's what he gave you an intellect for. You know, look at what color your clothes is. And find socks. And if you can't match them, just go with black. You're good. But in the big things of life, especially in our moral lives, God will help you. If you're sincere, he will sincerely find a way. You'll have somebody walk up to you out of the sky blue and just start talking to you about something altogether different. But in the midst of all of that, you'll hear the Holy Spirit telling you this way, this way, this way. See, we don't have to make every mistake. Now, you're going to make some mistakes. That's just the reality of the situation because we're learning. But we don't have to make every single mistake. There's some mistakes that we can avoid just by staying in our word and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Lord, what do I do? Here's what Jeremiah said, and I quoted this a moment ago, but I want to quote it correctly. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand you in the ways. Now, what that means is that you're at the fork in the road, the ways. There's a way over here and there's a way there. There may be 15 different ways over here, and then there's the way of the Lord. Stand you in the ways and see and ask. That word ask means pray. Pray about it. Now, here's one of the things that the enemy will do is he'll try to bum rush you on making a decision. You know, just like a salesperson. We have this on sale, but you got to buy it in the next 3 minutes. 3 minutes or else the sale's off. They'll try to bum rush you. Well, Satan will do the same thing, but you take your time and you stand there in the paths and you seek and you pray for the old paths. Where is the good way? That means God's way. And when you find it, you walk it out. You know, there's times that you can be going God's way. I'll give you an example. When the Lord saved me, I was out there. And I was about to marry this lady that I had been shacking with for 5 years. We were about to get married because I was just tired of sin. I was just tired. And God, the week I got saved, he saved my ex-wife in Germany. I was here in Dallas. And then he said the most ridiculous thing. I don't want you to marry this one you've got planned. I want you to remarry your ex-wife. Oh, well, that's ridiculous. And I don't like it. I've got emotional ties to this person. But hear me today. If you will go God's way, I cried. I cried a lot. But I persevered. God, I'm going to go your way. I have got my mind made up. And now it's, I don't know, 30, 40 years later. My wife and I have the most beautiful relationship. We don't never fight. There are times we don't agree, but we don't ever fight. Our house has got peace in it. Had I stayed over here, I'd have been dead by now. Because that was, you know, whatever you put together on the streets, that ain't good. You need to let God do something in your life. So let me give you this last passage. Here's why you need to always go God's way. He says in Isaiah 55, he says, my thoughts, they're not your thoughts. Our thoughts do not rise to the level of omniscience, of knowing all things across all time. We're not there. That's not, our thoughts are very linear. So the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. It means that when you're following after the Lord, there are going to be times that you feel a conflict within yourself, but I don't want to do this. I don't want to go this way. But realize that way is better for you. It may not feel better at first. When me and Sister Lincoln got back together at first, it didn't feel like, oh, Lord, this is worse than it was. I don't like this because she had been living by herself for 8 years. I'd been crazy for 8 years, and we were clashing. We were bumping heads. But we prayed through that thing, and we found God's way. And once we stopped resisting and trying to go our own ways, and the Lord educated us, then he used us in his work. But had we not gone his way, saints, had we not gone his way, I'd have been in jail or dead, because it's just the Lord. Had it not been for the goodness of God, I would have long ago perished. Neither are your ways my ways, he says, but as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. That simply gives you the reason why you can't always understand God's way. He said, because my ways are so much higher than your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth. When you go outside, look up at the sky. He's saying, as the heavens are higher than the earth. And as you're looking at the sky, the blueness of the sky, as you're looking at it, realize the sky doesn't stop with the clouds. It goes straight up past the moon. It goes straight past Pluto. It goes straight past the next galaxy. It goes billions of light years out that's incomprehensible to even know. God's ways are incomprehensibly higher than our ways. And so the point is, you and I just trust him. You're not always going to understand his ways. But when you have confirmed this is the way of God, you walk it. You walk it out. And you don't allow emotion, intellect, or logic to short circuit the whole system and cause you to deviate and to go your own way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room this morning? Father, I've done my best to share the importance of walking in your way, leaning upon your understanding, allowing you to order our footsteps. Oh God, I ask you this morning that by virtue of your Holy Spirit, that you would prick our hearts, that you would prick our lives, that you would help us, correct us. Lord, if we're any areas of our life, we're moving in our own direction. Oh God, lay a heavy conviction upon us that we're wrong, that we're headed for destruction. Turn us around, put a hook in our mouth and turn us around, God. Through the convicting power of your Holy Spirit, come on all over the room. If you're able this morning, would you stand to your feet? If you're able this morning. And whatever's going on in your life, just bring that to the top of your heart right now. You just plead with the Lord yourself. God, I know there are areas that I'm prone to go my own way. There's areas that I've faltered and failed many times, Lord, walking in my own desires. But this morning I ask you that you would help me, strengthen me with might by your Holy Spirit. In the hidden man of my heart, oh God, strengthen me. Cleanse me from every act of sin and every underlying unrighteousness that caused me to move in my own way. Come on, just reach out to the Lord right now. He hears your cry. He hears your cry.
Amen. Amen. Thank you all so much for joining us here at Christ Unveiled. Those of you in-house and those of you who are online, we thank you for joining us. I have just a few announcements. If you haven't already given, we ask that you please help support the ministry. And we want to thank you for supporting the Ignite Prayer this past Friday. And Christmas baskets are now available. The last day to apply for a basket is December the 20th, and the last day to pick one up is December 21st. And I am going to get ready to say a prayer and dismiss us, and we would like to see you back for the 11 o'clock if you can. Heavenly Father, I just pray that we diligently seek after your will and your way. And that we not make excuses for not following you. And that we not get in our own heads and feel like what we're doing is right when it is not of God at all. I pray that we get into your word. And as we get into your word, that you will speak to us, God, and we will want to do the right thing. And Lord, help us to get on our knees and pray that you will help us get out of our own selves and get into your way. I pray that the offering that we take up this morning, God, that it will be blessed tenfold, that we can continue to do the ministry of your work. It is in Jesus' most precious and his holy name that I pray. Amen and amen. You are dismissed.